Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for listening. Students from Juneau and across Alaska walked out of school today to protest Governor Mike Dunleavy's education funding veto last month. The bill would have raised state education funding significantly for the first time in years, but lawmakers came up one vote short of overriding it. KTOO's Clarice Larson reports.
Nearly 100 students from Juneau Douglas High School at Yada'ot Kathlay left class on Thursday to walk to the Alaska State Capitol. Juneau Douglas senior Rachel Wood spoke into a megaphone, calling on the governor and the legislators who voted to sustain his veto of education funding to answer them. But inside, Fairbanks Democratic Senator Scott Kawasaki said they were nowhere to be found.
I suspect they're hiding in their offices right now.
Juneau Douglas senior Carmen Farr held a sign that said, "Remember Article 7, Section 1. That's the section in the Alaska Constitution that mandates that the legislature fund public schools.
It's the legislature's responsibility to maintain public school systems, and I think the veto is kind of failing us there because we can see that everything's kind of crumbling beneath us.
The Juneau School District is facing a $10 million budget deficit next year. The bipartisan bill Dunleavy vetoed last month would have cut that in half. The district is relying on school closures and staff cuts to fill the budget gap. Juneau Douglas student Rain Bell says no matter what the Juneau School District did to fix the deficit, the quality of education was still going to decline without help from the state.
We're still losing. There are kids who aren't going to be able to get the resources they need and aren't going to be able to succeed.
Across town in the Mendenhall Valley, about 50 students walked out of Thunder Mountain High School. The district school closure plan turns Thunder Mountain into a middle school and puts all 9th through 12th graders at Juneau Douglas High School Yada'ot Kathlay. Thunder Mountain freshman Harbor Winton said increased state funding might have spared students from such drastic changes.
It's really heartbreaking, to be honest, because as a freshman here, I was planning to do my sports here, make friends here, graduate here like my friends and family have. And it's just really upsetting because now we have to go to JD. The high schools are going to be combined and it's unfair and we're still going to be in debt. And if the student BSA would have been increased like it should have like 7 years ago because of inflation, we wouldn't be having to deal with this crisis as it is now.
Students are already feeling the effects of budget cuts this year. The district has put limits on printing and other supplies. And senior Lauren Stickert says teachers are worried about their jobs.
It's important to keep schools open. It's important to have teachers keep their jobs. It's important to have supplies. I mean, we've been limited to 6 sheets of paper for this year because there's no money.
And Thunder Mountain freshman Dalnoy Keaton says she's disappointed in state leaders.
Personally, right now, I don't want to raise my kids in a state that has, like, really bad decisions that are being made. Like, we need education funding. It's just a must.
House lawmakers have set aside the equivalent of a $680 per student increase in the latest draft of the state's operating budget. But even if that passes and survives the governor's veto pen, it's another round of one-time funding. With help from KTOO's Katie Anastas, I'm Clarice Larson in Juneau.
And state lawmakers got some new details Tuesday about the federal government's partial approval of a document outlining federally funded transportation projects. The Federal Highway Administration gave the go-ahead to a revised statewide transportation improvement program in late March after rejecting an earlier submission. But the partial and partial approval means there's a lot of work left to do, says Transportation Commissioner Ryan Anderson, speaking to the House Transportation Committee on Tuesday.
We are ongoing with follow-ups at this time with Fed Highways. We'll be having a debrief next week with the Federal Highway Administration to continue on to some of the items that we have questions on with the partial approval as well.
Six of the more than 200 projects outlined in the planning document were excluded from approval. Federal officials flagged three projects that should have been included in the planning documents for local transportation planning groups, but were not. Federal officials say other projects didn't have to clear funding plans or were incorrectly grouped together. The Federal Highway Administration lists 6 pages of revisions to the planning process that must be made within the next 6 months. Additionally, Anderson says the state must provide more details on dozens of projects all across Alaska before they're approved. Even so, Anderson says the delays are not likely to bog down construction this summer. And now for this week's Curious Juno episode.
Fast food restaurants have ebbed and flowed out of Juno for decades, but very few have stuck around for long. Beyond Subway, McDonald's, Domino's, Papa John's, and Papa Murphy's, you won't find any other national chains in the capital city. Sure, there are restaurants like Pelmeni's or Crepe Escape downtown where you can get food fast, but that's not what we're talking about. Some residents like Ked Judson, who is grabbing a Subway sandwich during a recent lunch hour, wish they had more options.
Well, you know, Taco Bell, Burger King, or Arby's, or, you know, we see the commercials, but we're always stuck with just the one McDonald's, and there used to be other stuff. So I think there's still room for more.
He's right. Partly. Juno once had popular chains like Taco Bell, Burger King, and Wendy's, and some even had multiple locations. But they came and went. Several Curious Juno listeners asked KTOO why that is. Any day of the week, you can pull up to McDonald's in Juno and grab a Big Mac and fries. It's right by the McNugget intersection.
Hello, order when you're ready.
One time, there were two McDonald's in Juno. The first, which still exists today, opened in 1982 near the airport. When it opened, corporate officials said it sold more hamburgers and fries in its first week than any other store in the company's history. 4 years later, a second McDonald's opened downtown, where Heritage Coffee is now. But that one closed in 2010. There's no Taco Bell in Juno today, but at one time, there were two. Wendy's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Time, Burger King, and Baskin Robbins. They all came and went by the mid-90s. Burger King even had a food truck, but that shut down too.
It's interesting when you look historically at Juno. I mean, we've had a Kentucky Fried Chicken for years that isn't here anymore, and a Taco Time and a Taco Bell. McDonald's is sort of the sole success story, right?
That's Bruce Denton, who opened the Senate building on South Franklin Street downtown in 1982 and still owns it today. Wendy's and Burger King had locations there in the 80s. Denton says the downtown area is tough for restaurants in general, but especially fast food, because you can't put in a drive-thru and there's not enough foot traffic.
They clearly weren't getting enough traffic, particularly in the winter. And you know, you think about the cruise ship passengers, they're, one thing about the cruise is that they're royally fed, right? So there's not a lot of tourists that are scrambling in to eat.
One of the few fast food restaurants in Juno that has passed the test of time is Subway. Its owner is Assemblymember Wade Bryson. He says owning any business in Juno is tough, but trying to make money in fast food here is like walking a razor-thin wire.
What do you call a business without profit? You call it closed. And so once a business doesn't cross a profit threshold, it can't continue to operate. It is hands down one of the most challenging locations in the United States to operate a business.
Bryson took over the two existing Subway restaurants in Juno in 2004, one in the Valley and one downtown. But the downtown location burned down in less than a year. He opened another one in Lemon Creek in 2010, then he opened another one downtown, but closed it in 2020. He says like many businesses in Juno, fast food restaurants deal with three big issues: inflated prices, lack of housing, and a struggle to find workers. To make a profit, he says he typically needs to charge about 30% more than a Subway sandwich would cost in the lower 48.
The cost of food is just escalating literally on a daily basis. And in Alaska, the housing crisis, which led to the employment crisis, which led to the wage crisis, which has now compounded the housing crisis. I mean, it's all just circling.
None of this is new. Even back in 1995, former McDonald's owner and operator Mike White told the Juno Empire that finding employees in Juno was tough. Dale Martins, the former vice president of the Anchorage Taco Bell of Alaska, was quoted in the story saying that staffing in Juno, quote, has always been a challenge. Now, Bryson says the demand for fast food in Juno hasn't gone away, but running a restaurant in Juno often just doesn't pencil out.
I wish I had a dollar for every person that asked me to open up Taco Bell again here in town. I would have had enough money to do it.
In the meantime, you can always head to El Sombrero or Marisol to get your taco fix. In Juno, I'm Clarice Larson.
For more Curious Juno stories or to submit your own question, go to ktoo.org/curious. It's 45 degrees and overcast this afternoon in Juneau. You're listening to KTOO.